Hi-yo. 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. Good morning, everybody. We'll continue as it as events warrant. The president's going to speak at the with the casket and the rotunda of the Capitol, the casket of Robert Dole, distinguished former senator and egregiously wounded World War II veteran, presidential candidate. Is going to be honored by a whole bunch of his long-serving friends in the U.S. Senate when they're just bringing the Guard of Honor is just bringing the casket in as we speak. So we'll luckily we have a long break here so we can dip in and out of it. I'm not going to sit here and
mediator and compromiser and person willing to reach across the aisle was able to.
And that's not happening in the Capitol Rotunda. That's happening on this this one network. We'll get you some stories coming out of Grays Harbor. A 5-year-old girl, Oakley Carlson, just this adorable girl, hadn't been seen for so long that the school bus stopping at their address. And they're not identifying who, but someone called Grays Harbor County for a welfare check. The bottom line, the parents, not that they didn't know, it's that they wouldn't say where she was. And so that's non-cooperation. So they're in custody in Grays Harbor jail. And I'm not going to speculate, but at looking at their booking photos, I'm just going to tell you drugs may be involved. They may not be. I don't know. No clue. But it's a plague. It's a plague on its own, and it's all around the Northwest. So it may be a possibility that the parents of this adorable 5-year-old. Are more in love with the drugs than their 5-year-old. We don't know. It may be that there's a perfectly good explanation, but they have until tomorrow. This is the thing. Grays Harbor has until tomorrow. You can't hold people forever. They're being held on suspicion of because of a missing 5-year-old. Because it's as a parent, it's your responsibility to know where your kid is, and yes. The county can come for a welfare check and say, can we see proof of life? And so that's what that is. So they're working on it at the residence and the whole thing. But we'll have a little more a little later on. If you're thinking that Jay Inslee is a nanny and that you're living in a nanny state, right, listen to this. A spokesman for Draconian Codes could not be reached for comment. New Zealand has a new anti-tobacco law. New Zealand is banning young people from ever being allowed to buy cigarettes in a rolling program that aims to make the entire country smoke-free by 2025. Listen to this. No one under the age of 14 will ever be allowed to buy cigarettes in their lifetime in a desperate bid to eradicate smoking from the country. Each year, the age limit will be increased until it's illegal for the entire nation under New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's radical plan. So this year, if you're 14 or older, if you're under 14, you can't buy cigarettes, which isn't that a law now anyway, then it rolls. In other words, it grandfathers. If you weren't 14 by now, you can't buy cigarettes. I mean, they did a thing decades ago in Canada. And people thought it was radical at the time that the Canadian government said, 80% of a cigarette's wrapper, of the outside visible wrapper, has to show the effects of lung cancer on human lungs. And so you got these just nasty pictures of cancerous lungs and stuff on the cigarette packs. And it's like, oh, if you can power through that, you can have cigarettes. But they didn't bar you from buying cigarettes. And that was, by the way, that was replicated all through Europe. And more Europeans who, of course, you can't do poetry without smoking. Same deal. And this has never happened here in the U.S. And, you know, should it? I mean, I don't know. I don't. Smoking is increasingly less and less. And generation over generation, it's naturally sort of aging out. And I will, because I know a guy that owns a craft brewery, I'll have a cigar with him. But and I come home and I stink. And I own a couple pipes because I like pipe tobacco. And I grew up in a house with two smokers, my mom and dad. Here's my mom, multiple sclerosis, right? Bedridden in a hospital bed. And here's my dad, career air traffic controller, where you had to smoke, you know, short button down collar with a tie, clip on tie and a little pocket protector. Then you had to smoke. And I didn't even, you know, realize that I smelled like cigarettes. My parents would, you know, just smoke. I never smoked. I never got the secondhand thing, whatever that is. I did not. I aged out of it. And my dad died. He was like 96. And he died from being 96, but not from lung cancer. So not that one thing has to do with another. But in New Zealand, they're absolutely discounting the human element, your own judgment on that. And they're just saying, all right, you're not going to get a choice. This is a product that you can't even access. And, of course, the quickest way to get a 14-year-old to not even want to do something is to tell them that they can't do it. And then they turn on reruns of, oh, I don't know, any Bruce Lee movie, any movie from the 80s or the 90s or any, you know, movies today. Or, I don't know, what are they going to do? CGI? Bruce Willis, that's like the most famous scene in Die Hard is late in the movie when Hans Gruber is looking for John McClane, and he acts like he's just a terrified, you know, escaped hostage from the Nakatomi, investment bank downstairs where the world's worst Christmas party is happening. And Bruce Willis whips out a cigarette and Brady, Die Hard's a movie. It was made in the May 1988. Bruce
Willis. Yes, I know who John McClane is.
You know the scene I'm talking about when the actor Alan, now dead, he plays, you know, Hans Gruber, and Bruce Willis whips out a cigarette and he says, "Hey, can I get one of those?" in his flawless American accent. And what are you going to do? Cut that scene or like make it red vines? Hey, is that a red vine? I love the movies. Anyway, tell you what, we will take right now. Mitch McConnell is speaking, and when the designated Democrat, which is going to be Joe Biden, speaks, we'll take his remarks because he is, as it turns out, the president of the United States. Bob Dole lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda, and that happening live as we speak. Back in a second. Brian Suits here today and tomorrow, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with Right Way Traffic. When Robert Byrd died, they had the memorial in West Virginia, you know, long time, just an institution in the U.S. Senate. By the way, 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here today and tomorrow. And at his funeral, Bill Clinton spoke. And you know, you understand, Robert Byrd was in the KKK, okay, and he wasn't the chair of the refreshments committee. Okay, he was like a Grand Kleagle or something, and he had pictures of him not when he was 19 or 22. He had pictures, you know, in his 40s and 50s, wearing his Klan regalia, and at his funeral, Clinton had to whitewash it and say, "Well, back then, you know." Everyone had to do it. You had to do that to get ahead. They didn't really believe in that stuff. And whatever wacky beliefs they have, they absolutely had to whitewash it. And instead of just simply saying, look, the guy evolved. He was a Klansman. He had his silks. And, you know, it was beyond, like, if you're a private in the Klan, you wear the all white, you know, whatever. He was wearing, like, purple satin, which is like a Klan lieutenant colonel or something. And it's okay. I'm mature. I'm an adult. You can say the guy grew up in the South, and the South was populated by the offspring of the people not physically fit or smart enough to fight in the Civil War and get killed. So only dumb people got to mate. You know, it's a very reasonable theory. It works for France as well. But they didn't. They had to actually make that patronizing excuse for Robert J. Byrd, former Klan member. And I, by the way, I think you will find it's pronounced patronizing. So anyway, Robert Dole, American hero. That would be my eulogy. There you go. That's that. What they're doing on, and I'm not going to bring you any of MSNBC. What they're doing on MSNBC is, of course, they're contrasting. They're contrasting how it used to be in the Senate before those evil Republicans like Tom Cotton showed up. Okay, well, I remember the 1996 presidential campaign. And they weren't real nice to Bob Dole back then. Here's a little bit of Chuck Schumer speaking at the Capitol Rotunda. Bob Dole will line
Mr. State. President, Madam Vice President, Madam Speaker, Leader McConnell, Leader McCarthy, distinguished guests, dear colleagues, and most importantly, Senator Elizabeth Dole and Robin. The scriptures say that we should, quote, rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Today, we pay tribute to a remarkable leader. Over the course of his life, knew more than his fair share of suffering, who turned that suffering into endurance, whose endurance became central to his character, and whose character, whose essential goodness, leaves us with hope. Hope that we will continue to see good men and women in this country like the one to whom we say goodbye today. To pay tribute to Senator Bob Dole is to honor someone who redefined and elevated what it means to serve country. By 21, Bob had given more of himself than most of us give in a lifetime, and then he kept going for 77 years after that. And my God, it was 77 years well spent. At 27, he was elected to state politics. A decade later, he came to Congress, followed promptly with an election to the Senate. 16 years later, Bob Dole was majority leader, remaining in party leadership until his final run for president in 1996. The years were well spent, however, not because of his titles, but because of what he accomplished. Today, tens of millions of Americans, veterans, the elderly, the disabled, and millions of kids across the country are better off because of Bob Dole. He never lost his roots as a principled, pragmatic Kansas Republican, and Bob never hesitated to work with Democrats to get things done.
All right, Chuck Schumer, though, on a personal level, I feel that he's a loathsome lizard of some undetermined genus. But at least he's being civil towards an old colleague. And Schumer is from that old. What's really loathsome about Schumer is here's a guy who did come up in that sort of collegium of the U.S. Senate. But he's adopted the new ways with alacrity, you could say, because he is just as bitter and venomous as the next guy these days. So anyway, at least he can turn it off and turn it on when the president speaks. We'll come back to that. Of course, like I said, breaking when people say, oh, it was. And this is what they'll say after today, because when Biden gets up, he's going to do the same thing because he was, you know, genuinely friends with Bob Dole. But they are political animals, and when Dole was running in 96, he was attacked for age, which is laughable now. Laughable with the guy who just turned 79. In 96, attacked Dole because of his age, because he was advanced in age, and that vigorous and some say amorous incumbent Bill Clinton was young and vigorous, and he would jog. You know, with his grape smugglers, it was nasty. But they attacked Dole on his age in 96. So it was, you know, the fraternity of the Senate out the window back then. It was no 1856. Let me take you back to the day of May 22, 1856. In the United States Senate chamber, Representative Preston Brooks, a pro-slavery Democrat from South Carolina. And I mean, you know, you had to do that. There was no other way to be elected. You know, he was, I'm sure he personally found slavery loathsome and unprofitable. But anyway, Preston Brooks, a pro-slavery Democrat from South Carolina, used his walking cane to attack Senator Charles Sumner, an abolitionist Republican from that Massachusetts. The attack was in retaliation for a speech given by Sumner 2 days earlier, which he fiercely criticized slaveholders, including a relative of Brooks. The beating nearly killed Sumner and contributed significantly to the country's polarization over the issue of slavery. It has been considered symbolic of the breakdown of reasoned discourse and the use of violence that eventually led to the Civil War. So anyway, just remember that when people say that words that, you know, this sort of coarse language about AOC or Ilhan Omar, it's just it's never been like this. Really? 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 When a Republican walks into the Senate chamber and beats Chuck Schumer with a cane over abortion, okay, then you can talk to me over some other issue. But so anyway, that's my bar when you talk about civil discourse. That's my bar on that. So I'm just pointing that out. Other people are speaking, and when the president speaks, we will certainly take that live. And so, you know what? I let me just point out what I'm not going to take live.
Mr. President, it is a sad and official honor to join our colleagues in the leadership in welcoming.
Is it too early to break? I mean, constitutionally, this is the third person in line for power. This is a Speaker of the House. She's from a tiny district in San Francisco. I don't know what she has to say is really worth it. I don't want to show disrespect. Can we break now?
We could if you want to.
Oh, yes. In fact, look at that. We're running way late. It's 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. Well, sorry, we're going to have to skip the Speaker's remarks. When the president speaks about his old friend Bob Dole, we will have that. So we have to break early now. Otherwise, you know, civil discourse, everybody. Nothing to cane me over. It's 7:23 on 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with the right way traffic.
I know this is not easy. Thank you for letting us do this. We meet here in the very heart of American democracy, the capital of the United States of America, to receive a hero of that democracy for a final time. Robert Joseph Dole. He belongs here, in this place. Do this. Congress, distinguished guests.
770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. We're about 30 seconds behind on the president, so I'll play it from where I paused it. Brian Suits here today. Tomorrow, the casket and body of Robert Dole are now on display in the Capitol Rotunda, and the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer spoke, and then the Speaker of the House, a Congresswoman from California, spoke. Now the President speaking to the widow Elizabeth Dole and their daughter Robin, making his remarks, eulogizing his former colleague Robert Dole.
Most importantly, Elizabeth and Robin, I know this is not easy. Thank you for letting us do this. We meet here in the very heart of American democracy, the capital of the United States of America, to receive a hero of that democracy for a final time. Robert Joseph Dole. He belongs here, in this place, in this temple of liberty and to temple to possibilities. Bob Dole loved this Capitol. It's where he served the nation, shaped by the figures that surround us. Washington and Jefferson, who set us on our path. Abraham Lincoln, another man who, from the heartland of the country, from whence he came. Bob's hero, Dwight David Eisenhower. Martin Luther King Jr., whom Bob helped pass legislation honoring the great civil rights leader with a federal holiday. Bob stood up and got that done. Gerald Ford, who served here and with whom Bob sought the Vice President of the United States. In a sentence, Bob belongs here. He, too, was a giant of our history. And that's not hyperbole. It's real. Of wit and grace, of principle and persistence, of courage and conviction. I had the great honor of serving with Bob, as many of you around this casket have. I served with him for 25 years. He did have great wit. They once asked him, why in God's name did he vote to continue to fund Amtrak? He said, because if he didn't, Biden would stay overnight and cause more trouble. I commuted every day. It's a true story. He was the deciding vote. Well, you know, Bob and I, like many of us here, we disagreed on a number of things, but not on any of the fundamental things. We still found a way to work together. We genuinely respected one another as colleagues and as fellow Americans. It was real. It wasn't fake. And we became great friends. And because Bob deserves a final word, I'd like to read a portion of his final message that he left to the country, that I hope we all listen to in the days and weeks, months to come. And I quote Bob Dole. I cannot pretend that I have not been a loyal champion of my party, but I've always served my country best when I did it, so first and foremost, as an American, where we prioritize principles over party, humanity over personal legacy. When we do that, we accomplish far more as a nation. By leading with shared faith in each other, we become America at its best. He went on to say, a beacon of hope, a source of comfort in crisis, a shield against those who threaten freedom. Our nation has certainly faced periods of division. But at the end of the day, we've always found ways to come together. We can find that unity again. Then the message said, end of message. My fellow Americans, America has lost one of our greatest patriots. We may follow his wisdom, I hope, and his timeless truth. But the truth of the matter is, as divided as we are, the only way forward for democracy is unity, consensus, the only way. May we follow his wisdom and his timeless truth and reach consensus on the basic fundamental principles we all agree on. May God bless Bob Dole. May God bless America. And may God protect our troops.
And there you go, President Joe Biden speaking over the displayed casket containing the remains of Robert J. Dole, longtime U.S. senator, U.S. presidential candidate several times, in the Senate rotunda, the Capitol rotunda, I should say. Short, sweet, respectful, to the point. No mention of corn pop, a self-deprecating joke about Amtrak, and why do we fund it, the whole thing. So anyway, it's a job well done, and short and sweet, like I say. Capitol Police are the ones standing at guard now around the – there's four, one at each corner at parade rest. And then they'll be rotated by the military services and all that. And then ultimately, Bob Dole, a U.S. Army officer, World War II, where he was egregiously wounded. I'm seeing two different stories. He's not going to be interred at Arlington National Cemetery. Apparently, he is going to be buried in Kansas. So there is that. Anyway, but a end of an era with Dole, and a huge, you know, personal repository of U.S. history in this one man. And that's what's really, really remarkable. Plus, you know, as I say, my obituary would be, you know, and I don't know what people think the word means these days, but I would say American hero. And not because he got blowed up and shot in World War II, but because he went to World War II, led troops, lost troops, continued leading them, was wounded. And this is the nutty part about the end of World War II. I mean, it was 14 days before Hitler killed himself. And it was a very, very angering, frustrating time for the U.S. Army in Europe, because we just didn't get what. Why are they fighting for Italy? Dole was wounded in Italy. And just a crazy, you know, a horrible waste to be killed in those last few weeks. But it's a war until it's not a war, right? Until the Germans surrendered, which they tended to do when they ran out of ammo, unless they were fighting the Russians. And then interesting, during his rehab, which was a marathon, you know, for well over a year and a half, 2 years, just to be able to walk again. He was hit in the upper spine, and they don't know, because they weren't like taking notes at the time. It was either mortar shrapnel or a bullet, but his spine wasn't severed. But it was so badly injured that his legs didn't work. He had to work to get his legs back. Here was a guy, University of Kansas, trackster and basketball player. You know, if you've ever seen, there's a picture of him. He's like 20 or 21, 6'2", 180, just yoked. You know, just the guy was a phenomenal athlete. And then, you know, 2 years later, he can't walk. You know, 2.5, 3 years later, he has to struggle to make his toes work. In his rehab, when he came back to the continental United States, he was in rehab, and I never knew this until he died on Monday. He was in rehab with two other Army officers who had been wounded, who wound up with their right arms, unusable for the rest of their lives. And as they sat around playing poker and all this, they talked about their futures and the whole thing. And the one lieutenant had asked Dole, well, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I want to go to law school. I want to get into politics and be in Congress. And he said, you should do it too, Dan. You should, you know, you're a leader. You've seen how bad things can be. And people like us have an obligation to go to Congress and remind people of the cost of war. And what about you, Phil? And Phil said, yeah, me too. Well, those two other guys were Phil Hart, went on to be U.S. Senator, and Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, who was horribly injured in World War II by a German MG-42 machine gun. He took like four rounds. And Daniel Inouye he always joked that he beat Dole to Congress and the Senate, That was back in the day that you could look at the U.S. Senate and see, you know, all of these veterans of World War II and then later Korea, you know, and et cetera. But anyway, Bob Dole lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda there, honored by the president and others. Back in a second, early this morning, FAFO happening in Spanaway. a full FAAFO at early this morning in Spanaway. I'll tell you about the Second Amendment and you breaking into this guy's house right after this. Brian sits in here today, tomorrow, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with Right Way Traffic. KTTH. Brian Suits here today and tomorrow. Pierce County sees continued rise in vehicle thefts as frustration grows for victims. Kind of a side note on that, there's a state legislature member, not to throw you under the bus, but do you remember the dude's name? Because we Googled it. I forgot his name. Well, he has a name. I'll tell you that. We can confirm that there is a member of the assembly who has a name, and he is proposing a bill that would prevent the instant cash payment for your catalytic converter that someone else decided they needed slightly more than you last night, and they took a Dremel or a Sawzall or something to the underneath of your car.
Got the name now.
Oh, and his name is
Senator Jeff Wilson.
Schmidley Butler.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. What did you say? Jeff Wilson?
Yeah, Jeff Wilson.
How did I forget that?
I don't know.
So anyway, I'm sure he's a spiffing bloke. And where's he from? Do we know where he's from? Sounds like Hump Tulips. Sounds like Wenatchee. No, he's from Western Washington, I guarantee you. I don't know if it's probably a problem over there, too. But Jeff Wilson, I salute ye. Part of what his bill provides for would be a waiting period that you don't pull in at 6 a.m., and, you know, throw the pit bull a steak bone and then get paid cash. It would be a waiting period. And then, because if you don't know, catalytic converters are, you could say, controlled items. They're, you know, they have serial numbers on them.
He's out of Longview.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm a little partial to Kelso myself, but I'll take Longview. New numbers show car and truck thefts in Pierce County continue to be a huge problem. And then, oh, by the way, if you don't know it, a small percentage of the car thieves are the ones that do the vast majority of them. But it's really hard in Washington just because you're driving a stolen car, especially if you're 17 and 364 days old. It's really hard to stick car thievery on you. It's frankly easier to beat you and tell you not to do it again. There was a catalytic converter thefts are a plague up and down the West Coast and throughout the country because of the valuable minerals that are in them. And there was a story, and I'll attribute it when I find out, but it was about a year ago in Pasadena, California, your home of the Rose Bowl. A apartment dweller comes out in the morning to get into his Mini Cooper to tootle off to work. And by the way, did I mention he's minding his own business? Comes out of the apartment, ready to go to work, minding his own business. And there are two legs sticking out from under the Mini Cooper. And he's thinking, funny prank. It's like you know, the wacky elf legs sticking out of people's cars. Usually there's a Rudolph nose on the grill of such a car with fake antlers and all. Just to complete the wackiness, they put the old, I got a elf stuck in my trunk and all that. But so he's thinking, funny joke. Pulls one leg. It's not a mannequin. It's a man's leg. And you're thinking, oh, he yanked that guy out of there and beat his ass, right? No. He was dead. The guy, you see platinum thieves work in teams. What this guy had done was he went and got a common hydraulic bottle jack, those, you know, round things, and he had jacked up the Mini Cooper. But he didn't lock it. You have to twist a thingy. I believe there's a frenulator on there. I think it's 221. The frenulator is. You jack up the bottle jack to your desired height in order to get you, scumbag, car thief, catalytic converter thief, and your Dremel under there. Then you have to lock the hydraulic valve. So anyway, guy goes under there with his tool, and there's even marks on the catalytic converter, and he's, you know, he starts going at it. What he doesn't know is that the hydraulic bottle jack isn't locked, and it's slowly letting pressure out. and the Mini Cooper presses down on the dude. And the second you feel it, that's too late. You're too damn late. And it squished him. It probably suffocated him, but they found him deed under the Mini. Like, okay, you know what? Ford F-250 with mud tires. You're better off. Don't let the owner find you. He's probably armed. And this also goes for a Chevy Silverado pickup as well as a Dodge 3500. There, I've covered my bases. But a Mini Cooper, you know, you better have a partner or you better understand how to operate the jack. Anyway, he didn't steal anymore, but it's a thing. Well, here's another thing. Early this morning, and also, by the way, here's a disclaimer, just so that no one complains. First of all, violence never solved anything. And secondly, guns are just bad. They're baddy, bad, bad. Gunny McGunface, bad. Guns are bad. That being said, 4:21 a.m., Spanaway, Washington is where we lay our scene. An intruder is dead after they were shot by a Spanaway homeowner early Thursday. According to Pierce County Sheriff's Department Sergeant Darren Moss, at 4:21 a.m., deputies were called to a home in the 100 block of 165th Street East for a report of a shooting. The homeowner said two intruders kicked in his back door, so he armed himself and shot at them. When deputies arrived, they found one person dead in the front yard. The second suspect had fled. Deputies searched the area, but the suspect was not found. Moss said the homeowner and his sister are shaken up, but are okay. The homeowner is cooperating with detectives. Hell, in fact, he's bragging. No, I'm sorry. I added that. That's not in the Cairo story. Back the story. The homeowner is cooperating with detectives. Deputy Moss said detectives will canvass the neighborhood and interview anyone who might have information. There are no details yet on what the intruder's motive may have been. And let me just, at this point, on northbound 7, where this is, a couple blocks away, there's a delightful Starbucks, but the sign says Starbucks and Taco Del Mar. It's on the east side of 7. This is what's crazy about this, Staff of Brady. I went by a block away from this around. I'm not going to give the time. Yeah, I am. Around 3:30.
Yeah,
yeah.
I drive past the area of Menchie's shooting every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm on the keto. Menchie's is off the menu.
It shouldn't be.
Man, I got to tell you, because one spoonful never killed anybody.
Nope.
You know, and my daughter, when she was earning it, when she was swimming 3 hours a day, we always made Menchie's a stop. And then she got those, you know, those flavor, those citrusy bubbles.
Oh, the boba.
But boba's tapioca.
Yeah, it's just what they call it.
Because hell, it's my money. I'd always take one big spoonful, and I included some of those because it didn't get me out of ketosis. But man, that Menchie's is awesome. It's a shame that, by the way, if you're overnight, there were gunshots outside of Menchie's at a strip mall in Via de los Federales. And then a body was found. And so detectives in Federal Way are determining if there's any connection. This was this morning in Fafo land. Perhaps you know it as Spanaway. But in Fafoville, yeah, 4:20 a.m., there you go. And by the way, if you're kicking my door down at 4:21 a.m., I don't care what your motive is. I think your motive is you're out to catch some lead. You're wondering whether or not the owner is armed. You bet your friend. Hey, I bet that guy's not armed. Okay, how are we going to find out? Well, no, stick with me. I say you go kick in his back door. I'll be back here settling the bet. We'll be back right after this. Speaking of high murder rates in 2021 and blue cities, a surprising op-ed by a two-time mayor of Philadelphia, an African-American gent who has had it up to here with white wokeness. We'll be back with that. Hour number three, the 8 o'clock hour right after this. Brian Suits, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with Right Way Traffic.